welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a podcast and blog where I review all types of novels and movies. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for another book review today. So I want to just get right into this episode because today I am reviewing the Shadow and Bone trilogy by Leigh Bardugo. Hopefully I pronounced their name right. And it is a trilogy, so I will be reviewing all three books, which include Shadow and Bone, Siege and Storm, and Ruin and Rising. Just a quick disclaimer, there will most likely, when I get to reviewing Siege and Storm and Ruin and Rising, there will most likely be spoilers for previous novels in the series. So just as the episode progresses, there most likely will be spoilers for previous novels in the series. So just wanted to throw that out there. I will try to keep spoilers at a minimum. And if I am spoiling something, I will try to let you know. So let's just get right into it. As I said, today I am reviewing the Shadow and Bone trilogy by Leigh Bardugo. The series was published by Henry Holt & Company, and its tags are fiction, young adult, mystery, fantasy, romance, paranormal, adventure, magic, enemies to lovers, high fantasy, and friends to lovers. Dark fantasy is also a tag included in many of the Goodreads pages. The first novel, Shadow and Bone, was published June 5th, 2012, and was 369 pages long. The second novel, Siege and Storm, was published June 4th, 2013, and was 435 pages long. Finally, the last novel in the trilogy, Ruin and Rising, was published June 17th, 2014, and was 422 pages long. Now, Shadow and Bone does have some spin-off series, which includes Six of Crows and I believe King of Scars, or maybe that's the second book in the, no, it's definitely King of Scars. And so there are many other books within this, I think it's called the Grishaverse. I will hopefully be reviewing the Six of Crows duology soon, so we'll see how that goes. Getting into the first book, its description is, surrounded by enemies, the once great nation of Ravka has been torn in two by the Shadow Fold, a swath of near impenetrable darkness crawling with monsters who feast on human flesh. Now its fate may rest on the shoulders of one lonely refugee. Alina Starkov has never been good at anything, but when her regiment is attacked on the Fold and her best friend is brutally injured, Alina reveals a dormant power that saves his life, a power that could be the key to setting her war-ravaged country free. Wrenched from everything she knows, Alina is whisked away to the royal court to be trained as a member of the Grisha, the magical elite led by the mysterious Darkling. Yet nothing in this lavish world is what it seems. With darkness looming and an entire kingdom depending on her untamed power, Alina will have to confront the secrets of the Grisha and the secrets of her heart. So Shadow and Bone, the series, has been popular for quite some time, but it wasn't until recently, I think, actually a year ago. That's sad. I bought the trilogy and the Six of Crows duology. We'll probably be buying King of Scars now, too. And I finally read the trilogy, you guys. I finally did it. And like I said, next I will read Six of Crows, hopefully. And I did all of this in preparation to watch the Shadow and Bone series. I wanted to know as much as I could about the books before I watched the Netflix series. So I started reading, and I got halfway through Ruin and Rising, the last novel, and just decided to just watch the series. I was done. I was like, I want to know. I want to see it. So I'm really excited for the next season, you guys. But this isn't about the TV show series. This is about, I guess not TV show series, Netflix series. But, you know, as always, I'm late to the game. But I loved Shadow and Bone, the first novel in the Shadow and Bone trilogy. Overall, I rated Shadow and Bone 5 out of 5 stars. The characters, writing, setting, plot, and memorability were all 5 out of 5 stars. I mean, this book is phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. I cannot describe in words how fantastic and the feeling I got while reading this novel. It has been a long time since I've really truly enjoyed a fantasy novel, and it's been even longer since I felt the way I felt when I read The Hunger Games. There's something about this series that really makes it special, and I think it's just a mixture of so many great things all in one book, and I'll get into that later, but I absolutely loved Shadow and Bone and the trilogy itself. So, fantastic. I have absolutely nothing but good things to say about the first novel, Shadow and Bone. For those who are like me and hesitate to read popular series for fear of being let down, the first novel in the series is phenomenal. Shadow and Bone is hands down one of the best fantasy novels that I've read in a long time, if not ever. It has everything I love about books. It has magic, good antagonists, amazing characters, complex world building was a huge thing for me. I love, love, love good world building because I feel like that's super important. I need to know the world that the novel is set in. It had good romance, action, adventure, mystery, twists and turns. I cannot get enough of this book, its world, and its characters. I was utterly obsessed, especially when I read this a couple of weeks ago for the first time. I was done. I was floored. This was such a good novel. And like I said, I have not been as obsessed with the book series as I was. I have not been as obsessed with a book series like this since The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games was a huge reset for me. I mean, I didn't read it when it first came out, as usual. and so I loved this book. It is just great in everything that it does. Shadow and Bone follows the upheaval of Alina Starkov's life as she discovers she has magical powers. She is thrust into a life completely unlike the one she's used to. She's separated from her best friend since childhood, Mal, and she feels hopeless as she tries to navigate her new life and the powers she just became acquainted with. Ever present in the background is the Darkling, one of the most powerful Grisha, which are basically, I guess you could say, the wizards or the magic users of the series. All of the characters have so much depth and distinct personalities, making them worth reading and caring about. The realisticness that the characters had assisted in making the love interests actually interesting. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, like, I don't like Mal. But personally, I do. Would I choose him over another love interest that comes in later in the series? Absolutely not. But for Alina, I absolutely loved Alina and Mal together. And this is weird for me because, if you don't know, I use my book reviews from my blog as kind of like my script, my basis of things that I want to hit while I review on the podcast. And when I read these back, it's my thoughts when I first read the novel. Like, I did not know the rest. And so I, when I first read this book, I loved the Darkling. Like, I loved the Darkling. I saw no red flags. but the love triangle was set up beautifully. I was genuinely like, who is she gonna choose? Like, I wouldn't be able to choose. Now I would be able to choose, but at the time when I read this book, I was not able to choose. And my friend Annabelle judged me severely for that, because she knew. But I could envision Alina with both Mal and the Darkling, and, you know, like I said, I'm not going to spoil anything right now, but I completely get Alina's mistakes. I see it. I get it. But moving on to the setting, Leigh Bardugo has a way of writing that makes the words leap off the page and become true before you. The world building itself was fantastic, rich, and lively, but Bardugo's talent for description perfectly accentuated the unique and interesting world she created. Shadow and Bone features Ravka, a country torn by war and separated by the Fold, which is a place of darkness almost impossible to survive. Not only was the setting and world-building perfection, but the magic system was too. Instead of being forced to just accept the way that magic works in the novel, Bardugo allows the reader to become acquainted with the unique magic that Grisha can possess. And at first, I was really nervous about getting into this novel because it is a high fantasy or dark fantasy novel, the entire series is. And usually I have trouble, even though I love the world building, I also have trouble remembering everything. And so I was really nervous for that with this series, but Bardugo does a great job of making it flow throughout the story and really including the terms. You're learning along with Alina, so it really helps because she doesn't know anything and neither do you. So as she's starting to learn stuff, you're starting to learn stuff. So I think that was a really great way of introducing all of this magic and setting. I think that was a really unique and perfect way of introducing it all. I do have to mention that I loved the character development that Alina undergoes throughout the book. I was happy to see that instead of immediately being able to control and use her powers, Alina struggled with everything for a good portion of the novel before being able to truly step into her role as a Grisha. It was refreshing to see something realistic, especially since one must suspend reality to read any fantasy book, let alone one as rich as this. I always talk about on this podcast how having some realistic element to your novel is a really crucial idea, honestly. When you have a fiction novel where you have to kind of suspend reality for a little bit, it's really nice to have some realisticness so that you're able to relate to the characters and the situations they're going through. Because personally, I've never been through what Alina went through. I cannot summon the sun. So, you know, I think it's really important to have some humanity in there and some realisticness, especially with the characters. That is a huge thing for me, because I want to relate to the characters, I want to feel for them. So that's super, super important, and Bardugo did it so well. The story maintained a perfect pace for every part of the book. By not focusing too much on slow-moving details and focusing on important parts of the plot, Bardugo created a masterpiece. I was captivated by the progression of Shadow and Bone and its twists and turns. I'm usually pretty good at guessing the outcome of novels and movies, a gift I inherited from my mom, who's literally, I will sit down and watch a movie with her, and I'll have never seen it before, she'll have never seen it before, and she just guesses everything and spoils the movie before even knowing anything, and I'm like, Mom, shh, I want to watch this without knowing what's going to happen, even though you don't know what's going to happen either. I think it was Stranger Things, where we were watching it, and she's, like, spoiling the new season. She's spoiling it for me as we go, and I'm like, Mom, you haven't watched it either. How do you know this? She's like, it's fairly obvious, and I was like, okay. The twists and turns, the plot twist, took me by surprise in this book. I was absolutely in the dark, just like Alina is, and I think that's really great that the novel kind of puts you in her shoes a little bit. Like I said, going back to the character development that she undergoes and the realisticness of her character, I think it really made her a great protagonist and a great character to follow. Overall, I really enjoyed reading Shadow and Bone, and I cannot recommend enough that you read this series, even if you're scared of disappointment like I am. It's just excellent. There's nothing wrong with Shadow and Bone, at least the first novel. I loved every single part of it. And I'll get into more of the novels in a little bit, but it was phenomenal. I cannot recommend it enough. Next, I'm going to talk about Siege and Storm, the second novel in the trilogy, and just a spoiler warning, there are spoilers for the first novel, Shadow and Bone, even just in the description. So if you have not read Shadow and Bone yet, I would recommend waiting to listen to the rest of this episode. I will try to keep spoilers for Siege and Storm itself at a minimum. I doubt I will bring up anything until I review Ruin and Rising, but just a forewarning, there will be spoilers for the first novel in this review. Starting off with the description from Goodreads as always, "Darkness never dies. Hunted across the true sea, haunted by the lives she took on the fold, Alina must try to make a life with Mal in an unfamiliar land, all while keeping her identity as the Sun Summoner a secret. But she can't outrun her past or her destiny for long. The Darkling has emerged from the Shadow Fold with a terrifying new power and a dangerous plan that will test the very boundaries of the natural world. With the help of a notorious privateer, Alina returns to the country she abandoned, determined to fight the forces gathering against Ravka. But as her power grows, Alina slips deeper into the Darkling's game of forbidden magic and farther away from Mal. Somehow, she will have to choose between her country, her power, and the love she always thought would guide her, or risk losing everything to the oncoming storm." So I'll start off right now by saying I did not enjoy Siege and Storm as much as I enjoyed Shadow and Bone, the first novel in the series, but I still enjoyed it pretty well. Like, it was an amazing book. I loved re-entering the rich world that Leigh Bardugo created. It takes place pretty much right after the ending of the first novel, where Alina was basically, you find out the Darkling is evil, and Mal is about to be executed, and Alina finally takes control over her amplifier, which is kind of, it amplifies her power, and the Darkling has control over it since he is the one who killed the animal that it came from. It's a whole thing. And Alina is able to escape by sinking the skiff while in the fold, which causes everyone on that ship besides her, Mal, and the Darkling, and I think maybe like two other people, to die. And the Darkling does not come out unscathed. He gets attacked by the Volcra, which are the monsters in the fold. And the book just jumps right into action with the discovering that the Darkling did survive, because Alina and Mal were not aware. They were kind of in hiding. I think they were across the true sea, so they're not in Ravka anymore, I don't believe. And they find out that the Darkling did survive the ending of Shadow and Bone, and he has a new power that has made him stronger than ever before. He is able to, I think, basically create monsters from the darkness. He's meddling in even darker magic now, which is bad. And Alina is thrown back into the dangerous ambitions of the Darkling, who will not rest until he is able to control all of Ravka and the world. Just like the first book, the setting is magnificently built and described. The world building of the entire series is excellent, but I do wish that in this novel, Bardugo would have delved more into the other countries besides Ravka. I am not sure whether this happens outside of the Shadow and Bone trilogy. I'm sure I don't think Six of Crows takes place in Ravka, so I'm assuming it branches out a little bit, but just in this series, it was a little frustrating because I was like, I want to know more, which isn't necessarily a negative thing. But because now I want to read more of the books, but it was a tad frustrating for me because I wanted to know more, but there was just not really a lot of new information about the neighboring countries. And though showcasing characters from the first book, Siege and Storm also introduces us to the characters of Stormhand, or Nikolai, Tamar, and Tolia. And I probably pronounce all of their names wrong, but it's fine. Nikolai quickly became my favorite character of the entire series. The characters were just deep, realistic, and compelling as usual. But with the addition of Nikolai, I just fell in love. He is my favorite character of the entire series. There is no one I like better. I love Nikolai. He is just the perfect character and the perfect introduction of another love interest. And with the introduction of Nikolai came another love interest and struggle in Alina's life. Like I said, personally, I am here for Mal and Alina's relationship. I think that their history together makes their relationship truly important. And there is the issue of, you know, Alina just wants to be normal. She doesn't want this power that she has. Well, she used to want it. But Nikolai and the Darkling both want to use her for political gain or gain of some kind. Well, Mal, I think, truly loved Alina, and so I think their relationship is a good one. I know a lot of people complain about it, and personally, I would not have been upset if Nikolai and Alina did end up together, but I do think that Mal and Alina's relationship is really well set up in this series. The plot itself was fantastic and moved at a very quick pace, though there were some parts that felt slow and drawn out. I enjoyed the new discoveries that were made along the way, and this series is really great at building up a puzzle and a mystery that you don't really know is there. You're really focused on the main plot, and in the background there's kind of this mystery that is actually really important, but you're not really aware of it, so it's a surprise when it shows up in the final novel, which I really enjoyed. My favorite part of this book was Alina's character development. In the first novel, she is hesitant, weak, and kind. She hesitates to kill the stag, despite what her hesitation puts at stake, her life and those of many others across the entire world. It's the reason that the Darkling was able to control the amplifier that she got. But in Siege and Storm, she becomes much more powerful, ruthless, and quick to take control, and at the time, I really hoped that she would become a villain. I still think that it would complete her character arc and really drive home the point that is brought up many times throughout the series, that greed is really heavily present in the series and that Alina is becoming what she hates. And I think that that would have been, I like how the way that the series went, but I also think that that would have been a great way to drive this series. And part of me kind of wishes that that had happened, and another part of me doesn't, because it isn't really Alina to become, it isn't really like Alina to become villainous, but I also think it would have really just been a wow moment. But, you know, overall, Siege and Storm was a solid sequel and build up to the finale of the Shadow and Bone trilogy. Like I said, there were some minor issues that I had with it. I think this took me, despite it starting really fast, it took me a while to get into the novel. Like, I think it's either the first or second chapter where Alina is already back under in the Darkling's grasp, but then it kind of slows down a little bit, and then it goes faster, and then it slows down. And I think I don't know, the pacing was a little off for me, but I loved everything else about this novel, and that's why I rated this book 4.5 out of 5 stars rather than 5 out of 5 stars. The characters, writing, and setting were all 5 out of 5 stars, and then the plot was 3 out of 5 stars, the memorability being 4 out of 5 stars. There were some issues, like I said, that I had with this, but overall it was a really great novel, and I don't know, I liked the first book overall more, but there were definitely some aspects in this novel that I'm crazy about and I absolutely loved more than overall the first novel. But I still, I don't know, we'll get to my ranking later of which one I liked more or which one I had more fun reading necessarily. But right now, let's get into Ruin and Rising, the third and final book in the Shadow and Bone trilogy. Another fair warning that my review for Ruin and Rising will have spoilers for the previous two novels in it, so if you have not read Shadow and Bone and Siege and Storm yet, I would hesitate to listen to this part of the review. Let's start with the description of Ruin and Rising, the third and final book in the Shadow and Bone trilogy. The capital has fallen. The Darkling rules Ravka from his shadow throne. Now the nation's fate rests with the broken Sun Summoner, a disgraced tracker, and the shattered remnants of a once great magical army. Deep in an ancient network of tunnels and caverns, a weakened Alina must submit to the dubious protection of the apparat and the zealots who worship her as a saint. Yet her plans lie elsewhere, with the hunt for the elusive Firebird and the hope that an outlaw prince still survives. Alina will have to forge new alliances and put aside old rivalries as she and Mal race to find the last of Morozova's amplifiers. But as she begins to unravel the Darkling's secrets, she reveals a past that will forever alter her understanding of their bond and the power she wields. The Firebird is the one thing that stands between Ravka and destruction, and claiming it could cost Alina the very future she's fighting for. Overall, I rated Ruin and Rising 4 out of 5 stars. The characters and memorability was 4 out of 5 stars, the writing and setting 5 out of 5 stars, and the plot 3 out of 5 stars. Ruin and Rising is a stunning yet bittersweet conclusion to the Shadow and Bone trilogy. Filled with shocking and saddening moments, the final installment to the Dark Fantasy series had me absolutely entranced and wanting for more. Ruin and Rising starts right after the end of Siege and Storm, with beloved characters far below ground under the apparat's watch. The previous two novels build up to the key moments in this novel, and much but not all of Ruin and Rising lived up to my expectations. So when we left off with Alina and Mal and everyone in Siege and Storm, they had just defeated, supposedly, the Darkling. Turns out that didn't happen, and again, they failed again. And now Alina is very weak, and she's below ground, so she can't even use her powers to help strengthen her, which is rough. The apparat is kind of a jerk and doesn't trust her, even though he regards her, or tells everyone he regards her, as a saint. And so they're in this really risky scenario where they're below ground, and if they say the wrong thing, they could get in trouble with the apparat and all of the people living below ground, or they could even just be found by the Darkling, which is not a good thing. That's what they're trying to avoid. But as always, Leyburtigo's writing is almost magical, transporting readers to a chaotic and dark Ravka on the brink of destruction. The stakes are high in this conclusion, and I was constantly wanting to know what would happen next and which one of my favorite characters might not make it out. The setting was absolutely stunning. Bardugo was able to paint a hopeless, gritty scene that made me hold my breath. The start of this novel, and a lot of the novel actually, are very dark and just not dark like messed up, but just very sad and hopeless, and that feeling of grief, because in the last novel so many characters died. It is just very heavy, and I think that was a great way to start the novel. I fell even more in love with all the characters throughout this story. Most importantly, I loved Mal and Alina's character development. I was not crazy about Mal as a character in the earlier novels. As I said, like, I liked his and Alina's relationship, but would I choose him over Nikolai? No. But Ruin and Rising shows them at their lowest, but it also shows the growth of their connection. Alina's evolution throughout the novels is brilliant. Alina is the perfect example of the human hunger for power and how quickly it can corrupt those who defiantly oppose it in others. I was in support of Alina becoming a villain, but like I said, I do think that Alina's development here is a good juxtaposition to the Darkling, and it adds more to both of their characters, though I still think that, like, Alina being a villain would be cool. But I also think this is a cool ending, so I don't know how I feel. I don't know. The plot focuses mainly on politics and the war, which I thought would be tiresome. However, Rune and Rising is just as entertaining as the other novels. There were many twists and turns that took me completely by surprise, but thankfully did not come out of nowhere. Like I said, there's this huge, not side plot, but just mystery in the background while you're focused on the main plot. And so it really added to this novel, and it made sense, but was also intriguing and unexpected, which I really liked. Unfortunately, though, I am somewhat disappointed with the ending of the novel. The final battle between Alina and the Darkling was very underwhelming and rushed. There were some shocking moments, but overall I was very frustrated with the pacing and the events. The results of the battle seemed to completely undermine the excellent character development that took place throughout the entire series. However, I also understood the need for some of the events. My main issue is the handling of Alina's power, which I dislike completely and feel is totally ridiculous, considering her struggle to utilize them and let them not take control of her. It's especially frustrating since Alina's development is the most undermined and she is the main character. It felt like a lot of the build-up from the first two novels was kind of dashed in this book, which was frustrating. But besides the ending, you know, this book is really good. And the ending of the novel does accomplish some good things. It would have been completely unrealistic had there been an entirely happy ending. The bittersweet ending that occurs felt real, saddening, yet understandable. It is the one part of the ending that I really enjoyed, besides Mal and Alina's relationship. I think that the ending of this novel really is realistic. If everything was just sunshine and rainbows at the end, I would have been like, that would not have happened. Even though I was sad that some things did happen to some characters, I understood it, and I did enjoy it. I think it really added, it made it more meaningful, if that makes sense. Overall, Rune and Rising is a good conclusion to the Shadow and Bone trilogy, and I had fun reading it. Books, and this is honorable mention, books hardly ever make me emotional. Movies have a hard time doing that too, but I did almost shed a tear or two during the final battle. I never thought I would feel bad for the Darkling in this book, but here we are, and I nearly shed a tear or two. I felt bad for him, so, which Annabelle, again, did not like, so. I really did enjoy this novel, though, like I said, there were some things that I wish would have been done differently, but overall, solid novel, solid ending to a great, great series. Definitely, like, a 4, leaning towards 4.5 out of 5 star series overall. I think there are so many good things accomplished with this series, and I cannot wait. Like, I'm literally, eyeing Six of Crows right now. I have other things in my schedule, but I'll find a time. I really, really enjoyed this series, and let's get into my ranking, which is going to be really boring. My ranking of the books, you know, which one I liked more than the other, not necessarily going off my rating, but also kind of going off my rating. Number one, I have book one, which is Shadow and Bone. Number two, book two, Siege and Storm, and then you guessed it, number three, Rune and Rising. I do think that book two is growing on me more and more. I'd say right now, honestly, book one and book two are kind of at a tie, despite Siege and Storm being half a star less than what I rated Shadow and Bone. I do think that, I don't know, I really liked a lot of the aspects in book two. I loved Nikolai. I mean, introduced Nikolai. Love it. But overall, I don't think it was as good as book number one. I don't think it was as good as Shadow and Bone. But Siege and Storm was, it had so many things that I was obsessed with. So overall, I didn't like it as much, but the different pieces I did, if that makes sense. It doesn't really, but it makes sense in my mind. And then book three, Rune and Rising, was a bit of a disappointment. I think the main part that I was disappointed with is the ending, because it just felt very rushed, especially the ending battle. And like I said, it undermined a lot of things that were built up throughout the series. So I don't know. I liked it, but I did not enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the other novels. So it's number three in my book. And maybe I'll do, once I've read all of the Grishaverse, maybe I'll do a whole big ranking of all of the books. I don't know. We'll see. But that is the end of my review of the Shadow and Bone trilogy by Leigh Bardugo. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, BookBub, and BookSirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews. My Letterboxd is, just search on my name, Maya Grimley. If you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading! Haven't been able to say that for like 3 weeks.